Welcome to the Eczema Kids podcast. I'm your host, Andrew McHugh, and boy, do we have a treat for you today. We're diving deep into the realm of gut health, focusing on how we can truly heal our little ones from the inside out. When I was on the hunt for answers, I found there just wasn't enough discussion on what we can do to support our kids' gut health. And that's our main focus today. Our guest, Dr. Meg, is a powerhouse in the world of functional medicine. With over 2 decades of clinical experience, she's not only a certified functional medicine practitioner, but also a best-selling author, a podcast host, a summit host, and a sought-after speaker. Through her virtual functional medicine practice, Dr. Meg has transformed the lives of countless clients worldwide. She's a master of connecting the dots between diverse, unexplained health struggles like migraines, gut issues, fatigue, skin reactions, anxiety, or allergies. Dr. Meg empowers her clients to reclaim control of their health so they can regain the energy and mental clarity and the confidence necessary to embrace their lives once again. And that's what we're all about here. Get out your pen and paper, friends. This is a great one. Let's get into it. Welcome to the Eczema Kids podcast, your go-to source for natural healing and comfort. Are you ready to embark on a journey towards nurturing your child's healthy skin? Well, you're in the right place. I'm your host, Andrew McHugh, and we're here to make your life a whole lot easier. We've got expert insights, heartwarming stories, and practical tips to help soothe your child's eczema naturally. Get ready for a podcast that's all about child-approved, itch-busting remedies that you can feel good about. We're talking herbal solutions, eczema-safe nutrition, joyful parenting, and a dash of laughter along the way. Whether you're new to the world of eczema or you're a seasoned pro, this podcast is your one-stop shop for support and information. I've got your back. So grab your favorite cup of tea, cozy up with your little one, and let's dive into the world of eczema because every child deserves to feel great in their skin. Let's get started. Hey team, before we get into our discussion today, I have to tell you about a game-changing opportunity for you and your precious little ones. The Clear Skin Kids course is where we're diving deep into the world of healing from the inside out. We're talking about reducing inflammation and improving your child's symptoms and breaking that vicious itch-scratch cycle once and for all. This is wellness for healthy people, guys, and that's who you are. You've already given up gluten and dairy and eggs for years. You're filtering your water. You need next level stuff. And that's what we're all about here because, frankly, it's our responsibility to ensure the health and overall wellness of our kids. But here's what's exciting. When you combine this course with our organic, effective skincare, you'll unlock comprehensive effects that will have you saying goodbye to all those sleepless nights and all the wasted dollars on ineffective creams and superfoods. You know, when you buy the random ingredient because you hear the random thing and then it gets to your house, but then you need 20 more ingredients to make the thing that you even forgot what you were making in the first place? Like, ask me how I know. All that eliminated. In this course, I'm spilling my trade secrets. I'm preparing digestible foods and supplying your kids with low histamine diet and recovering everything that your kid needs to combat those really hard to manage histamine levels. Plus, I'll teach you how to whip up your own herbal oil and anti-itch salve so you can make your own magic on demand. And we'll talk about pre and probiotics. It's essential for gut health, and we talk a lot about that in this episode. We talk about how we get those things in our kids in the course. Your kids will overcome their nutritional deficiencies and their digestive woes in our protocol. This is a big deal. You'll uncover these sneaky environmental triggers and exactly what you can do about them. And there's tons of extras for babies and nursing moms and school-age kids. It's all in there. And all for you super busy parents out there juggling multiple hats, because you're not just working and maintaining a home and being a superstar parent to likely multiple children. You're homeschooling, you're volunteering, you're sitting on the PTA, you have a church position, you're doing all these things. I've got you covered. I've got you covered with a framework that will help keep you sane. And this isn't just another Band-Aid solution, friends. It's a sustainable, effective, and affordable plan that will leave your kids glowing from the inside out. All of our soothing skincare is by your side, and you will be unstoppable. Friends, I would have given my right arm for somebody to give me this holistic solution in a step-by-step manner so I could just go for it. I would have saved so much time and money. Head over to eczemakids.com/workwithme. Snag the DIY version or go all in with the VIP package, including skincare and a coaching call. If you want to just dip your toes in first, start with the soothing skincare at eczemakids.com/soothing skincare. It's a choose your own adventure, friends, but trust me, all paths lead to wellness and happy kids and thriving families. I can't wait to see you on the inside, ready to unlock the clear, comfortable skin your little ones deserve. Let's do this. Head to eczemakids.com/workwithme. I'll see you on the inside. Let's get on with our conversation with Dr. Meg today. Well, hi, Dr. Meg. Thanks so much for being here.
Hi, thank you so much for having me.
I'm really excited to have a really fun and helpful conversation today surrounding gut health and our kids' wellness. But before we get into that, do you mind introducing yourself to my audience and your line of work?
Yes, yeah, absolutely. So I am a functional medicine practitioner and I was a clinical pharmacist. I am also a clinical pharmacist. So I went to and got my doctorate in pharmacy, and then I also went on and did a residency and practiced in clinical pharmacy for several years. And I had two things happen at the same time, really. I was having my own health issues and I was also seeing patients, really just, we were putting them on these protocols. I knew why, I know, the reasons, and people just weren't getting better. We're just putting them on more and more medications often without addressing what's actually happening and underneath and the root causes. And so I was also not getting answers. So we're talking about eczema today. That was one of my issues. I had eczema. I had terrible gut health issues. I had anxiety. I had, all of allergies, all of these things. I just wasn't able, everyone would say, "Oh, you look fine, your picture of health and everything." And you're like, "No, I don't even know what I can eat. I look like a raccoon because my eyes are swollen from the eczema and all of these things." And I felt terrible and I just couldn't get answers. So I started researching and doing my own research. And it wasn't until I found functional medicine that I started to feel better and I was able to finally heal. And so I was like, oh, I have to, this is what I have to do. I have to make a career change. So I went back, got certified in functional medicine, opened up a clinic, and now I actually see people all over the world virtually in my functional medicine practice. And, we really focus, I work with a lot of women. We focus on gut health, hormonal health, migraines, and even, which we can get into a little bit, even histamine issues, which can play a role in some of the eczema. I'm finding a lot of people more and more having issues with histamine.
Yeah, and I guess we'll just get into it. What I've really noticed is that I would have been considered like the healthy friend, right? Like, and my family makes fun of me for the things that I do, and I wasn't even close to the level that I am now. But I feel like just the processed foods and birth control history, like all these things, kind of made it for really poor gut health in myself, and I. Like, did you ever see that movie, Multiplicity? It was like a 90s movie. It's just like when you make a coffee of a coffee, it's not quite as sharp. Like, it's, I feel like that's happening, right? Like we're seemingly healthy, and then we're having children, and they're born into these type of issues, like eczema and other autoimmune conditions. And I wanted to ask, like, how significant is the connection between gut health and eczema in your mind?
Oh, it's huge. I mean, in my mind, that's one of the most significant reasons that you're going to have eczema. So, we're often focused on the treatment of the eczema. And that's really the sad part is that and you're not doing this, you're spreading the word of other ways to do it. But when you go to the doctor and you tell them that your baby has eczema or that you have eczema, they are going to give you a steroid cream. And that's going to be an anti-inflammatory. And that's going to take the eczema down. And as soon as you remove that steroid cream, it's going to come right back because you're really not doing anything to treat the problem. You're just taking away the symptom, basically. And so we're working with that band-aid approach. So, when we're, two major things that I see connected with eczema, I mean, and it's just amazing how huge of a difference these things can make, and just when you see the skin just clear up, are gut health issues and food sensitivities. And the food sensitivities we can talk about actually come from the gut health issues. So it really is the one of the most significant things when we start to see this presentation really on the skin.
I wholeheartedly believe eczema presents because of a lack of beneficial gut flora, and parents are at a loss. I may have told you we had the exact same story. We went to the pediatrician and were told, "Oh, here's some topical steroids and do some bleach baths." And that was really all the offerings we got from allopathic medicine. And it is sad, like you said, it's not even a solution. It's a Band-aid in the form of chemicals and endocrine disruptors and like things that put more stress on the liver and deplete your gut microbiome more, in these poor kids. That all to say, what are some steps that parents could take to help support a healthy microbiome in themselves and their kids?
One of the, you know, so we'll talk, we can talk about like both, we can get into that and just in general. But, you know, one of the things, if you really are someone that has eczema, it would be a good, or your child is, it is a good idea to do a stool test. So we run a stool test, and we can actually from that look at levels of bacteria. So we can see, do you have enough healthy bacteria? So things like bifidobacteria, Bacteroides, those can often be low when we're seeing atopic dermatitis, which would be eczema. So we want to say, okay, you're like you're saying, do we have enough of that healthy bacteria? And if we aren't seeing some of those bacteria there, then we actually can do things to feed those bacteria. So we want to think of prebiotic foods. So, you know, we can take a probiotic and those can be helpful. You know, maybe if you're someone with eczema, maybe a bifido, probiotics aren't all created equal. A lot of them have lactobacillus, but there are a lot of strains that have bifidobacterium too. So since that's associated, sometimes you could take that kind of a probiotic, you know, that kind of a probiotic, but also taking eating prebiotic foods. So we're eating things like garlic and onions and different things that are prebiotics to help feed that bacteria can be helpful if that's the picture that kind of shows up for you.
Yeah, we put a lot of stock in that. Like, I just think prebiotics in the form of, you know, vegetables and fruits is like with children, that's your best bet. And then we get into supplements later. And so what did you say? What strains do we really need to look out for if you're taking care of a kid with eczema?
Yeah, so one of the things you can look for are the bifidobacteria strains. So that is, you know, when you're looking at different probiotics, different strain, you know, there's different strains, and a lot of probiotics have that, but there's some of them are more focused on the lactobacillus, which isn't bad. You know, that's good to have too, but sometimes we see more connections there. So that would be something you can look for in the strain of bacteria. And then you can also look for high levels of problematic things. So we can see things like, you know, E. coli. Sometimes when we see Staphylococcus aureus, we can see that in the gut, and that can actually present with skin issues. Sometimes we have Candida, H. pylori, even parasites, where you're getting this inflammation and they're actually causing the skin issues. Candida is a big one too, where you can see a lot of the eczema start to come out when we have yeast. So when you do this test, then you actually can see those, and then we can actually pinpoint what we need to do to, rather than guessing, we can actually focus. Okay, this is exactly what needs to happen in order to pinpoint the things that you need to do to rebalance your microbiome.
And here we do testing last because there's a couple of reasons. My clients have babies, right? They're under 12 months.
You're
You
not
can't,
about, yeah.
like, these tests aren't even the stool tests, like, they aren't even available to you. I did do one when my baby was struggling so bad. Like, I did a stool test. They said, like, you do it on yourself to just see how you could best help her. And, you know, what I found was the results were, and I did it in my 2-year-old as well. Like, they were both just really, really struggling. You know, they pointed to these exact things that you said. There was a definite lack in good gut bacteria, and there was dysbiosis happening. And, you know, at that juncture, it was expensive and not entirely helpful for where we were. You know, and it was just like, I wish I had waited. And I just believe in, especially in kids, that it helps. Unless, you know, like, if there is a parasite or a bacteria or something like specific that you need to contend with, I believe like your eczema will still persist while it would get better throughout the protocol and like addressing the diet and environmental influences and, you know, non-toxic skincare and all the rest. But I know that parents are low on time and funds and are overwhelmed and feeling like they have to change everything.
But I also would have to say the people that, I guess the different perspective is the people that get to me, a lot of people have already tried these things. And so I agree with what you're saying. You know, really try prebiotic foods, try to, you know, pull out the inflammatory foods, try the all of the natural, clean up your products, do all of that, those things. But sometimes we get to a point where okay, we're trying those things and they're still not working. And so then we move to testing. And
They need
so,
help.
and then in that case, what the opposite of what you're saying, sometimes I see people doing treatments on things that they're just guessing at. And that's not necessarily, that's not really good. So you want to make in the testing, you're seeing like, okay, I'm doing the treatments for what I need, not just doing a parasite cleanse because I heard that from an influencer that everybody has parasites and I need to have a cleanse, because we can swing the other way. People can hear there's a lot out there now. So we need to balance that with, okay, this is what I've done, and this is what is going on in my body, and this is what I have to actually do.
Oh boy, so dangerous. I'm sure you see
Yes.
quite a
Yeah.
lot.
Yes.
Oh, funny. What specific foods then would be really beneficial to improve gut health and just overall health and maybe help address an eczema situation if that's what's coming up for your kid?
Yeah, so one of the things that you want to look at are foods with soluble fiber. Well, I guess let's even take a step back here and say, is your child pooping every day? So that's a big thing. And I'm sure you're talking with people. We want to make sure that we are moving our bowels and that we actually do have a bowel movement. And then if you are having a bowel movement, is it actually an easy to pass bowel movement? So those are kind of things that I think people just normalize because it's like, oh, well, that's the way my body is. But that's not normal if you're not going every day. So we want to kind of look at some of those factors and see if we're actually going to the bathroom daily. So once we're getting past that, then we're looking at our foods. And so you want to look at foods that are you can look at probiotic type foods. So you can look at, and that is another thing. I guess I want to just take a side note because, things that are probiotics are fermented foods a lot of times. Those are good probiotics. But the other thing that can happen, like I mentioned with eczema or rashy skin or things like that, it can be histamine issues. And so we know that certain bacteria in our gut can pr be histamine producing. So bacteria can actually, surprisingly for a lot of people, produce histamine. We also have an enzyme called diamine oxidase that breaks down our histamine. And so that in order, when we eat foods that have histamine, we need it to break down. And if that enzyme isn't working well because of underlying gut issues, then we can have trouble, like I said, breaking down our histamine. Well, a lot of the gut protocols that we do have things like bone broth, fermented foods, all of those. If you are someone who has histamine issues, those are going to backfire because they're actually high in histamines. So it can get like, it's hard to give a little bit of a blank, it's hard to give a blanket sometimes because there's a lot of nuances for people that then it's like, okay, well, yes, that works, but not for you if this, So that's one of the things. But I'll get back on track and say, soluble fibers are good. So things like oats, legumes, lentils, peas, like apples, fruit, vegetables, Brussels sprouts, broccoli, sweet potatoes, chia seeds, flax seeds, like those kind of foods. We want to make sure that we're having a lot of soluble fiber in order to also populate and keep our bowels moving well.
Yes, I have to share two things. One, I mean, constipation was a huge, huge indicator. I mean, even before this insane eczema onset, right? Like that was like probably signifier number one, that things weren't right with our kids. Like all of them had their own constipation issues and, even as babies, right? Even when they're only eating breast milk, and that's a big red flag. Take serious note of that. And that's what I found to be most confusing, right? And trying to heal my own kids is like, yes, standard gut healing protocols, and traditional recommended foods like bone broth and fermented foods, yes, have so much histamine and have experienced. And through working with my clients, I mean, all of them do better taking a break from these high histamine foods. And like what I like to think about, and it sounds hippy dippy, but like anything that raises heat in the body, because I'm not a functional medical doctor like you, but everything that raises heat in the body, like histamine foods would, like chocolate would, and like coffee would, if you're a nursing mom and drinking that, those type of foods is like something that you'd want to steer clear of in the case of eczema specifically. And I know you deal with a bunch of people dealing with a bunch of different issues. But for this specific issue, I found that to be a key component in getting better.
Yeah, I do. I think it's very confusing because you're trying to do the right things. And often some of these, you know, these high histamine foods can be like avocado, banana, you know, bone broth, things that you feel like, oh, I'm making an effort to eat healthy. And these foods can be triggering you. And I think that is, it's hard. It is helpful to have some guidance there because there's more to navigate than just staying away from processed foods, which we do want to do. You know, we want to do all those things, the sugar, the processed foods, but it can be more nuanced than that.
Oh yeah. I mean, I wish it was. I wish at that like first Google search, like that all the answers would have been given, just like cut out those top 8 allergens and you're set to jet, but that is just not the case, which is okay. That's what we're here for. If anyone's listening and is pregnant, is there anything they can do to help prevent autoimmune conditions like eczema in their kids?
I would just say follow, you know, just live as healthy as you can. You know, really, if you can stay away from the processed foods, if you can reduce your chemical exposure, you know, we see a lot of toxins now. You know, there's more research that there's a lot of toxins in the placenta. So now they're testing placentas and finding all these toxins. So we can't avoid toxins. I mean, they are just in our world. So it's one of those things of really just finding your balance and what can you do personally to reduce your exposure, to, you know, try to eat organic, try to use glass instead of plastic so we can get rid of endocrine disruptors, try, you know, think about your skin products, your environment, all of those things, and really just being as healthy and supportive as you can through your pregnancy. And, you know, some of that is somewhat out of our control, and just you do the things that you can control doing.
It's a fine line, isn't it? It's so hard to not go off the deep end, you know, but also do everything you can. That's just really sage advice. Do everything that you can control and leave the rest. Are there any more environmental influences or things that you could do within your home or car just to mitigate those effects of endocrine disruptors that you just talked about and just create a healthier living environment for yourself and your children?
Yeah, so one of the main things I think that you could do is especially for people with little kids, because I know this is something that I ran into when my kids were little, is look at the plastics. You know, really, what can you switch to glass? Use as much glass, and that's hard with little kids because, you know, everything's plastic, but what can you take that you have as plastics and switch it over to glass? Because plastics have BPA. Now, also think of heating them, because when we heat them, they're going to leach into our food. So when we dishwash them, when we put them in the microwave. So if you do have plastics, hand wash them, you know, so that you're not dishwashing them and leaching. So those are some steps that you can take. You want to look for all natural. You can go to ewg.org. They have there's an app called Yuka. There's like so many apps now. You could get one of those apps to look at, you know, scan it right in the grocery store or, you know, wherever you're shopping, you can just scan that item and it gives you, is it safe? Is it not? And that's a great resource when you're putting anything on your skin or your baby's skin to see what products are in them. I like air filters in the bedrooms. If you're going to purchase an air filter, I recommend it for the bedrooms specifically because you spend the most time. It's hard to have, it can add up in price to have them in every room. But if you're going to consider, try to think of your bedroom, and then even filtering your water. If you can get a water filter, you can actually, EWG has a test that you can see your zip code and what chemicals are in your water. So we're getting more and more awareness now of what, you know, what these things are. About 10 years ago, I had this fight with my own water company because I did a test on myself, and there were things that the chemicals that came up when I did the test. And I called the water company. I got down this rabbit hole of like testing the water, what was in the water. And they were saying, oh, no, you know, this isn't your water. And I'm like, well, I'm testing for it. And, you know, where am I getting it? And I actually just got a reverse osmosis water filter and it went away. And so it's like, yes, that was coming from and I had a refrigerator, you know, the refrigerator filter isn't always enough because I had, you know, did have that on there. So, you know, how are you filtering your water and what isn't in your water? And that can vary by place.
My little 4-year-old goes to just half day preschool, and I just want to like sweep up all those little ones with the plastic water bottles and be like, here you go. There, this is like so much better. I mean, is stainless steel okay in your world?
Yes.
That's our solution for just we don't plastic anything, and then but we glass as much as we can. But yes, in the hands of, my 4 and 2 year old and even my 9 and 7 year old, glass doesn't always work out.
It's hard. I agree. It is hard. And when you have kids and it's like, okay, you don't want them to break. So yes, stainless steel is another great option. So what, yes, I had a lot of stainless steel bowls, water bottles, all of that when the kids were little, just to get a variation. And it's fairly easy, like I said, to get. Even you can even get bamboo. We've had bamboo straws, different things. There's like, you can be creative.
Yes, glass being the gold standard for sure, and then do what you can there. Yeah, we even have stainless steel plates. Like
I
they're
did too.
awesome. Like they're good
Yes,
for
I did too
people.
when the kids were little, and it's
Yeah.
fun. Yeah, it's fun
Yeah,
with them.
they're great. When you have those plates, if you have you're eating on a stainless steel plate, what can you do when you're serving your kids these thoughtfully prepared meals that you're making to help heal their skin condition, and they're just like super picky eaters, or they have like extreme food sensitivities, and you don't even know what to put on there in the first place. Like, do you have any recommendations as a doctor and also as a mom? It's just what to do in that scenario.
Well, I guess I would say in the basics of it, when you're trying to think of, okay, what can I get them from a nutrient perspective? Try to think of colors. So try to, like, the more color you can get into their diet, the better. So because different colors of food have different nutrients. So, okay, and you can make a game out of it. There was one point when my kids were little that I actually put a thing on the refrigerator and said, okay, we're gonna challenge, like, you get a prize at the end of the week. I mean, it was something little and silly, but it was like, whoever eats the most colors, or if you, they probably all want it, but if you get all your colors in through this week, at the end of the week, you're gonna have a prize. So make it into a game and something fun for them. And on that, put the different colors of food that they do like. And so, okay, what can you do? And even if it's maybe not their favorite, what will they eat? And see if you can make it fun for them to try to get as many colors or goals, or, there's always ways to make it sort of a fun game. And I think kids respond to that better. It's hard with food sensitivities because it's a real thing. I mean, I have seen these huge differences for people with their skin and their hair growth and so many other things, but when we're pulling these food sensitivities out. So, you really want to look at, and then you're thinking of leaky gut, intestinal permeability, how is the barrier of your gut function, making sure that you're getting the right food sensitivity tests because they're not all created equal. A lot of them have food sensitivities that people don't have. So you want to make sure that you're not getting the false ones because then you're pulling out foods that aren't even necessary. So being, really, if you're going to do that, get a reputable test, and then you really just start to, don't think of it as a permanent elimination. If you're working on the gut health while you're eliminating the foods, we can often re-tolerate the foods later on.
Yes, I try to offer that nugget of support to my clients too. It's like it's not forever, it's not a life sentence, and that's really important to understand. But you do have to buckle down for a period of time. Can you explain more why that's the case?
Yes, absolutely. Okay, so food sensitivity is an IgG antibody. So a food allergy is an IgE antibody. So if you have a food allergy, most likely, now the food allergies aren't all created equal. So if you have a that could be your eczema could actually be from an IgG, a low IgE response, but generally you're going to get hives, wheezing, you're going to have true allergic symptoms with a food allergy. A food sensitivity is an IgG antibody, and that is going to show where we're seeing more of the eczema-like symptoms. So that antibody has a 23-day half-life, around 23 days. So we're thinking, okay, if you pull that food out of your body at 23 days, half of those antibodies are going to be gone. And then another 23 days, another half of those antibodies are going to be gone. Another 23 days, another those. So we ideally think in 90 days, you should be cleared of those antibodies if you're not eating the foods. The problem often happens is that people aren't doing it long enough. And so they don't 100% eliminate They eliminate and only eat it every once in a while. So you're eating, okay, but I did it myself. So I'm gonna give you my own story this past fall. And I mean, I know all of this stuff, but I have on and off over the years had issues with dairy. Once, I've had to clear those antibodies. Dairy, I don't eat a whole lot of dairy, but it was creeping back up. And I probably only ate dairy every 2 weeks. But my eczema came back, and I was getting it on my eyelids, and I was so frustrated, and I was like, why is this back? And I'm hardly even eating dairy, and I had been tolerating that low amount of dairy for a while, and I was it just there was a lot of things it could be. So I was doing some other testing on myself, and I had to go back. I did another food sensitivity test just to confirm, because I'd only eat it if like my family was eating something, and I just wanted to join in. Just like I said, maybe once a week, maybe every 2 weeks, and just a little bit. And I looked like a raccoon. And so I did another test, and dairy's way high. And it wasn't until I completely 100% eliminated that then within 3 weeks it was gone and hasn't come back. But I had to, for me, I needed that data again to support, like, okay, buckle up and just do this and 100% eliminate it. Because you're just resetting those antibodies. So every time you eat it again, you're getting more antibodies. And then you eat again. So you're pulling them out and then they're coming back. And so you're sort of saying at this like slow, maybe they're going down, but they're never really eliminating.
I heard this metaphor is like if you're sitting on two pins and you take out one, you're not going to feel better, right? Like it's you got to completely eliminate it and then heal from there. And thank you. That's really helpful in getting to the science behind that. We know gut health is obviously linked to immune function, like it is your immune function, right? And a lot of my clients come to me after this really big immune assault, like hand, foot, and mouth or something like that. Or they're just dealing with regular sicknesses that are really further depleting the kid and they're just in a bad way. And now we're in spring and we're coming out of winter and hopefully like those symptoms start to alleviate. But if you're in that place and you're just looking for ways to boost your kid's immune system and therefore boost their gut health, is there anything extra that you would do?
Well, some of this also depends on the age of the child. So, what you're gonna do. So like I said, taking out generally, making sure they're hydrated, taking out the processed foods and sugar, high fructose corn syrup, all of those things. Eating a diet with a lot of colors of the rainbow, make sure you're getting soluble fiber, make sure you're getting lean proteins and, good natural whole grains, all of those kind of things. So to standard, and then we can look at things like vitamin C and zinc and vitamin D and like immune supporting. So we're looking, we can do immune supporting things. We can do mast cell, vitamin C is also a mast cell stabilizer. So mast cells release histamine. So that's what we're thinking. Mast cell is one of our first line of defense against allergy, and it releases histamine. So that's another reason that you can have an increased mast cell. That's another reason. It's a whole nother issue. But another thing that can happen is that when your immune system gets overwhelmed, your mast cells can start firing at things that aren't dangerous. So our body's thinking this should be dangerous, and so we release the our you know our mast cells are releasing chemicals, one of which is histamine. But we can start to feel overwhelmed, and then they start becoming overreactive, and they're reacting to normal things, and then we have to actually stabilize that too. So there it can be more complicated there. But working on some of those stabilizing things, immune support, and then also while you're working on really healing the gut lining, all of those things. There's things you can do at every age. It just varies. When you're talking about a baby, that would be different than what you would do for a 10-year-old or a teenager or an adult. It just depends on, you have to be a little bit more careful what you're doing.
You're in it and you're in the research and you're in a clinical practice. Do you see shifts down the road? Like as we talked about the pediatric care in terms of eczema and also just I think autoimmune conditions in kids in general and this acknowledgement of gut health and overall immune health and optimal wellness, I feel like in large part is overlooked. And I was just wondering if you are seeing any patterns, like or some shifts down the road that might change the way that pediatricians and allopathic doctors address issues like this?
So I would hope so. I think that there's a lot more awareness. So I think the wonderful thing is that people are becoming more educated. They want to search other answers. They're looking for things on their own. They're doing things like listening to podcasts and searching information out. The problem is that, a big business is controlling our medical system. I mean, when you look at the drug companies, the insurance companies, I mean, that's where there's a lot of money there. And so I actually just went to a conference, the Allergy Immunology Conference in DC in February. And, it's all of these huge, the Dupixent, I'm going to just throw out a name because I try to be neutral, but, they're there. And so they, look at these huge, like $100,000 booths that there's just so much going into a lot of these drugs. Again, we're talking about to, modulate the symptoms, but they're not really addressing the root cause. And that's what's just so frustrating, because if you could just make some of these changes, if you can, heal your gut, if you can change your diet, you don't even have to do it forever, but if you can take some of those things, regulate your nervous system, boost your immunity, all of those things, then you don't have to take the drugs. And so, drugs have side effects. They're that, when someone once said, and I like the way they said it, they're just effects. They're effects of the drug other than the effects you have intended for them. And so we can't ignore that there are effects of taking drugs that are like not great. And so do you want to do that and keep taking something that's just band-aiding, or do you want to really look into what's actually going on? And once you really take that time, it takes a little more time and effort and maybe some more money, but in the long run, you're actually moving beyond the issue.
Yeah, well, everyone listening to this is in the latter camp. Like, they're so
Yes.
committed, and I just love that we're so aligned on our missions. I know you want to empower people to live their best and healthiest lives, and as do I. I just want to see vibrant, healthy families, 'cause yeah, being sick, it's a time suck. And it's I mean, I believe staying chronically ill is more expensive. Like, even if you're buying an air filter, for your kid's bedroom and like a water filter, maybe a whole house water filter, that's still nothing compared to like the annual cost that you're going to be paying year after year to contend with this issue, and you won't get anywhere. You won't be actually resolving the problem, and it'll just contribute to more problems and further down the rabbit hole you go. So, Dr. Meg, thank you so much for being here. We really, really appreciate your time. Is there anything else that you'd like to share with our listeners, and how can they get in touch with you?
Yeah, so I'm over. I have a podcast called A Little Bit Healthier. So come on over. We're talking about all different ways you can live a healthier life. And then I'm over on Instagram at Dr. Meg Mill. It's just MEGMILL, it's DR. And then and my website is megmill.com. So I would love to connect with you. I do message me. If you have any questions, I'd be happy to answer them. I do message back myself. So it's me, and I'd love to help you or support you and answer any questions you have.
Oh, take her up on that, guys. This is a functional medical doctor. This is really exciting. Thank you, and really, really kind. Thank you again. And it was so fun to talk to you today.
You too. Thank you so much for having me.
Thank you so much for joining us on this episode of the Eczema Kids Podcast. We hope you found valuable insights and support for your child's eczema journey. Remember, you're not alone in this, and our community is here to help. Join our Facebook group, Eczema Solutions for Kids, to connect with other parents, share experiences, and discover natural healing strategies. And if you enjoyed today's episode and want to help other parents find comfort and solutions for their kids, please take a moment to leave a 5-star rating and review on your favorite podcast platform. Your feedback makes a huge impact and spreads awareness about our mission. Stay tuned for more empowering conversations, expert advice, and stories of triumph over eczema. Together, we can create a supportive network and make a positive difference in the lives of eczema families everywhere. Thank you for being a part of the Eczema Kids Podcast community, and until next time, take care and be well.